Goldstein brought to my attention. But if you look at Mordechai, and he has all this, you know, this terrific formulation of Pigel, but he just pointed out an interesting thing, which is that the only thing he doesn't say Pigel about is Nashim. Okay, he also doesn't say Datan Kalos or Miss Alev, and I think it's pretty clear that it's all part of the same idea. But it is an Ahara, so I told him I'd look up the Rav Yah, which I think is the Makar for, or the earlier Makar for Mordechai. In the Rav Yah, the word Pigel doesn't appear. All the whole list appears of Hilchos Eretz Yisrael, of different limitations. I was actually giving a shiur a couple of days ago, and I was speaking about the Hilchos Eretz Yisrael, and there was a woman in the audience, and somebody said to me, you know, this isn't very politically correct, you know, to be speaking about Hilchos Eretz Yisrael, you know, who's excluding women from Shechita. And, you know, it's always has some reason, one woman in the crowd. So I said to the fellow, number one, you know, it's a serious makar that is discussed by the Rishon and the Shulchan Aruch. So that, I don't know, either we don't care whether it's politically correct or that makes it politically correct because it's a source that needs to be understood. And secondly, you know, it's not, we don't pass in that way, so nobody should feel too bad either way. If we did pass in that way, we'd have to accept it and explain it. I said, but not only that, there are other things on the list as well. So there was also some people in the crowd who were over 80 years old in the shiur. And somebody said, yeah, you know, Hilchos Eretz Yisrael discriminates again, because Hilchos Eretz Yisrael cuts off Shechita at 80, you know, which doesn't seem very fair either. But the point is, you know, you have to keep it in. My point now is not to tell you the story, but the point is that Hilchos Eretz Yisrael and the list reflects a certain pattern, and it's not. There's nothing personal about it. It's a question of, again, if you attach it to Datan Kalos, it doesn't sound so good. But if you take out the Datan Kalos and it's a larger list, it means you have to be. David came to my office a couple of minutes ago. What about the poskim who say you have to be 18? That also comes. That's one of the list of the Hilchos Eretz Yisrael. You have to be more than 18. 13 isn't enough. You have to be less than 80, right? You can't be a saris. All sorts of dinim. So you have to be dressed in a certain way. You have to have certain, you know, kavanos. So the point is that the larger pattern is what we're interested in. But the Rav Yah, who has the expanded version of Hilchos Eretz Yisrael, doesn't use the word Pigel at all. So it is interesting that the Mordechai, where the word Pigel, it could be that earlier in the Mordechai, but where the word Pigel appears, it's Dafka, not in the context of Nashim, actually. Everything else is Pigel, but the Nashim. So we should really tell that to the people who are unhappy about Hilchos Eretz Yisrael. I don't know why in the Mordechai, the only thing that's not mentioned as Pigel is Nashim, except maybe political correctness, but that I'm joking then. There's no such idea. But in the Rav Yah itself, they say everything is treated equally without the word people. So I'm not sure. The other point, just very quickly, is Willie brought to my attention. Willie's here?
Yeah.
Where is he? Oh, there he is. Okay. Usually he's here. And that is that I mentioned that the problem whether Nashim Nashim Kohanos have a status of Zar or not. And the Machlokos between the Tzimtzum Machlokos and the Rambam, Hilchos Bias Mikdash Perek Tes, both Halacha Aleph and Tesvav by omission, and the Sefer Chinuch, at least as the Milchas Chinuch understands it, there could really be Nafkamina, as we discussed, things like Shudei Chutz if you're Mechalek and other things, and I wanted to use that to explain Hilchos Eretz. I wanted to use both explanations for Hilchos Eretz Yisrael. But one of the things that are problematic if you say that she is a Tzar is to, well, what do you do about the fact of her status as Kohenes, Indian Truma, and other things? So I mentioned the Tosis and the Grizz. I told us in Ksuvah Staff and Involvement Base and the Grizz in that discussion. But in general, there seems to be evidence, correctly, we talked about Pidgin Aben and other things, that the status of Kohenes applies to Nashim in some cases as well. Moreover, if you take the view that she's a Tzar, how come you need separate Temiutim, Bnei Aaron, below Benos Aaron, in the Sugya in Kiddushin Lamedvav, and you even applied certain things which are not Avodos? I mentioned the comment that I went to the Rav made, if I understood it correctly, which was that this is not an objective czar because she isn't a czar. She becomes a czar, or the Gzeres HaKosev is that she is a czar, but I understood it more even because she's excluded where she otherwise probably one would think should not have been excluded, that creates the status of Tzar. In that sense, it's different than Purei Rosh and Mechusar Begadim and things of that sort, because those are just missing the basic requirements of being an Oveh. But Nosh, because precisely they are Kohanos, and yet they're excluded, so that becomes a din of Tzar, but it's a din of Tzar, only Linyan Avoda, that was my attempt to connect it to Ilmus Eretz Yisrael, as opposed to being a Tzar in general. So Willie pointed out, do you have the language with you of the Radvaz? That the Radvaz, did I bring it? No. The Radvaz there in Perek Tes, Halacha Aleph, of B.S. Mikdash, anybody have that Radvaz? No? Has this formulation also that, you know, one might have, that the what the Rambam's emphasizing in the need for Bnei Aaron below Benos Aaron is because in Truma and other things, she's a Kohenes, she's not a Tzar. So the point is that Bnei Aaron below Benos Aaron is needed to expand the definition of Tzar for someone who really isn't a Tzar universally. Okay, so that's very close to what we were talking about. The language is very good as well. But you should look at it. Tess Aleph.
Also, Tosos in the Kedushin.
Yeah.
When the Gemara brings out the Limudim for the Nashim, so he says, well, why don't you just learn that from the fact that they're Mechusar Begadim?
Begadim.
And
right.
He doesn't say from the fact that they're Zarim. So.
Right. I think some people bring that. I think, does the Milchas Chinuch bring that Raya? I thought so. I think so. I think Milchas Chinuch in Shin Tzadi Sivkat Nalef brings the Raya from Tosos' discussion in Kedushin as well. I think, if not, yeah, absolutely, you're right. Tosos' discussion about Mechusar Begadim. And of course, it could be nafkamina and things like shkutei chutz and other such things as well. Okay, regarding erechanam bisur, just very quickly, maybe I took too much for granted. I assume everybody had learned Gittin and knew what I was talking about in terms of Rashi and Tosis there. So let me just take 1 minute just to clarify. Again, our discussion of erechanam bisur was as follows: how can you trust the shochet that he did a proper shkita, right? And do you need independent corroboration? For the Mishnah, which says that you only need Omid al-Gabav in the context of Katan, it would appear that a regular Shochet doesn't need Omid al-Gabav. You know, you don't need separate or independent corroboration. Now, one could say that's, as far as being Ochel Beino Levein Atzmo. I mean, if in fact I'm the Shochet and I want to eat my own Shchita, so I don't need to be an Omid al-Gabav. I don't need Omid al-Gabav if I'm not a Cheresh, Shota, the Katan, etc. But in Achanami, maybe generally, you need somebody to shecht, and you need independent corroboration, maybe two witnesses for the kashrus of the shechita. But it doesn't sound like that in the Mishnah. One could say that, but it doesn't sound that way. And therefore, the question is, where does this nemanus come from? And the problem is complicated further, as we already discussed, as Rishonim and Achronim all note, because the Gemara in Gittin seems to say that is chazak isura, erechanam bisurin doesn't work. And the Gemara in Chulin says, behema b'chayeha is b'cheskas isur. Sounds like this is a case of cheskas isur. That's the problem. So one solution would be one day in the Mordechai, which is that rov mitzvi neitz shkita mumchenhein, which we have yet to discuss, is such a powerful rov and such an extensive one that it takes care of the problem. There's no leidas ha-safek. There's no safek to begin with that this is anything but kosher meat after the shechita. And that's one view of the Mordechai. But other Rishonim don't like that, and therefore they have a serious problem. So there is another view I mentioned that some Rishonim, the Ramban and Rajba, discuss the problem, whether l'halacha is chazak isura really makes a difference or not. That's one possibility. Then there's another possibility, and that is, just give me one more second, biyado. The Gemara says that if there's a schazaki sur, but it's biyado, then we do believe the individual. But I just wanted to make it clear that what does biyado mean? So in the cases where it appears in the Gemara, it's biyados in the present as well as in the past. Not only that was biyado, but it is biyado. The question is that significant or not? Is it a kind of a migu, since he can change things, he can be mitakin things, therefore we believe him, because he has the ability anyway to be decisive here? Or is biyado kind of a shiur, as I said before, in Bailos or in his domain, in which case it might apply even to the past? So that's a machlokas or Rishonim, and that's another approach to this question. A further approach would be to attack whether this is indeed a cheskas iser or not. We explain this in the context to possibility, again, in Hilchos Eretz Yisrael, that Nashim would be different than Anashim if in general Erechonem Bisurim doesn't apply to Nashim, and we try to explain how that would work. The background that I mentioned to Gittin is very simple, but I just want to make it clear. That is, the Gemara says Erechonem Bisurim and Abesim and Beis and Gittin. So Rashi gives the example, among other things, of Shechita. Rashi says, Shari Hemina Torah Kol Echad V'Yachad Yisrael Al Afrashas Truma V'Al Shechita Al Nikor Hagid V'Hachela. So one of the examples that Rashi gives of Erechonem Bisurim is the fact that we're Mamin V'Shechita. And then when Rashi talks about the Gemara that says there's a chilik between the Skazik and the Skazik Yisura, so Rashi addresses the question of Shechita. Hach is Skazik, Bahach Yisisa Yisur Eishasish. But again, the Hasam Biyado Letaknon of Yivamos is a case of present Biyado. Rashi is applying the idea of Biyado to Shechita of the past as well. That's Rashi's explanation. It also emerges, according to Rashi, then, that Shechita is based on Erecha Neman Bis. The Man of Shechita is based on Erecha Neman Bisurim. And Biyado. Biyado is what takes care of the Cheskas Yisur problem. The Baalei Tosfos agree, except in formulation. And they argue that once you apply the principle of Biyado, that that's no longer called Erecha Neman Bisurim. Basically, Rashi believes that either Biyado neutralizes Cheskas Yisur, and you're back to Erecha Neman Bisurim. That's what Biyado accomplishes. Or that the combination... or biyado is a factor, at least, that allows Erechonem Neman Bisurim to work in a context of Cheskas Yisur as well. And the Baalei Tosfos disagree. They think that biyado is an independent basis, and we no longer call that Erechonem Neman Bisurim. So that's just important to know, technically, whether that's what we're dealing with here. Tosfos says here, Erechonem Neman Bisurim, it seems that his objection is that that should no longer be defined as Erecha Neman Bisurim. That's Erecha Neman Bisurim was cancelled by Yitzchazak Yisura. This is a din in Biyada. But he addresses the timing problem. Which is what, again, Mordechai quotes in the name of the Baalei Tosfos here as well. And then he adds, meaning outside of Chayra, Shota, Vekatan, in the cases of the Mishnah. So he understood that our Mishnah was saying that a regular Shochet is independent and you don't need separate corroboration. It's not only a statement about the Hechsher Shechita, it's also a statement about the bus are being let loose on society. Right? So basically what he was saying is, he's rejecting like the Orzarua and the other deus in the Mordechai, Rov Metzuyin Eitzah Shechita Mumchen is not going to solve this problem alone. You need Erecha Neman Bisurim. As opposed to the last day in the Mordechai, which is no, Rov Metzuyin solves the problem entirely. U'mashen u'somchem ala noshim b'shechita, afu b'shein yodo silchot shechita kivit shebiyada lilmod lishchot, ala haskar acherim sheyishchitu la kibiyada dami. So basically he says, well, if it's a din of biyado, that makes sense if women are going to be shochtim or shochtos. But if they're not, then where's the biyado? The answer is biyado applies even if you can hire somebody or even if you can learn a shechita and become a shochet. So this is important. This is an extension of biyado. Not only does biyado mean achshav biyado or lifnechein biyado, even lifnechein biyado, which is a mechusar maisa in a way, that's with additional effort because it's a shiur in the domain, it's not in the actual capacity to do it. So that's Rashi and Tosfos, each in a different emphasis, but again, Tosfos touches on some of the issues that, again, the Rishonim here in Chulin touch on as well, the Orzarua and the Mordechai that we discussed. Also, the Rambam, it should be noted, like Rashi, I didn't bring it. Anybody have a Perek Yud, maybe have it on the computer. Perek Yud Aleph Hilchos Eidos? Or Perek Yud Hilchos Shechita, either one. But in the famous formulation of, in the context of Eidos, the Rambam Perek Yud Aleph Hilchos Eidos, Halacha, what Halacha is it? Ches, I think? Anybody have the Rambam? Yeah, go ahead, Michael. Yud Aleph Ches? Or Tess? How does it start? That's the one before that.
Yeah.
Ah, so clearly the Rambam holds that Shechita works on the basis of that we believe the Shochet on the basis of the rule of Eidecha Ne'am Bisurin. Correct? He's saying even a Rasha, which we'll get to. That's when we get to Dav Gimel. Gimel and Dalet was speaking about Rishayim, Mumrim, right? Also, if you look in the end of Hilchos Shechita, Perek Yud, can you get that also? Or that we should have, I don't have it, but everybody, that's the regular Kedusha that we're with, that's our bread and butter Rambam for this year. You have it?
Yeah.
Good. Daniel? Oh. Who else? Who's going to do it?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Perek Yud Halacha Yud Dalet. You have it? Whoever has it.
Kol Tavoch Yeah.
Exactly. So again, the Rambam says clearly, like Rashi, that Eidecha Ne'eman Bisurim is the basis for Ne'emanus and Shechita. According to Tosis, it's based on Biyado. Right? According to others, it's based on a rov mitzvin etzah shechita, mumchen hein, etc. And according to it's conceivably possible that you would require separate corroboration, although that would be kind of a nightmare. Okay. So just I just wanted to make that that point clear. Also, for the views that hold that women are generally excluded from Eidecha Ne'eman Bisurim. We would also have to address the question, so how come women are believed in the context of Nida and other such things? So it could be that that's a separate, there's a kasuv of the Safra law. In general, the question is, do you need a makar for Eidecha Ne'eman Bisurim? Or is it based on the Safra law? Or is it based on, you know, implicit need, namely society can't operate with some basic level of nemanus. That's what Rashi seems to say in a few places. But the point is that there may be certain, if you hold that generally nashim are we require edus, in other words, and therefore nashim who have nemanus but don't have edus are excluded from Eidecha Ne'eman Bisurim, you still might say that, in, you know, where it's certain biyado domains, that's different. Or where you have a gzeres hakasuv like the Safra. So that's the things that issues to consider. Okay, so now let's move on to Katar. Yeah, the Bali Tosfos hold in Gittin that the Safra law is the general makar, but if you hold that the general makar is one of the other psukim, or you don't need a pasuk, then the need for pasuk in the Safra law might be precisely to establish the exception. Okay, now let's speak about Katan a little bit before we continue on. Let's speak a little bit about Katan. Okay, who's going to read for us today? Yossi, do you mind? Just again, the Mishnah quickly. Kol Shochtin. Okay, so basically we know from here, I just want to speak for a few minutes about Katan. We'll probably have to speak about Katan down the road again, but at least let's get some of the issues on the table here. So simple reading of the Mishnah is that Cher Shot and Katan are lumped together, right? And they are psulim l'shchita, with the exception of Gadol Omid Al Gabav. What's not so clear is how excluded are they without Gadol Omid Al Gabav, and how acceptable are they with Godel Omeid Al Gab. In other words, are there any circumstances in which a katan bali Godel Omeid Al Gabav will be shchitaso kshera, or at least safek kshera? That's number one. And the other level, Godel Omeid Al Gabav shchitaso kshera, is that a lechatchila? Is that a bidyaved? Is it possible that it doesn't apply to all cases? Are the cases where even Godel Omeid Al Gabav, it'll still be possible? That's not so clear. The simple reading of the Mishnah is all cases of alone are possible. All cases of Godel Omeid Al Gabav are at least kosher, but we're just not sure about lechatchila and bidyaved. I want to show that there is a range of views here and that it might be relevant to some of the bigger issues. Yeah?
Using the Lashon Godel Omeid Al Gabav, the Mishnah uses the Hair Merona, so is there...
I think it's the same thing, as far as I know. Unless you know something I don't know. But Acher Ronos and Godel Omeid Al Gabav, I think basically we're talking about the same thing. Well, we'll discuss it a little more when we get to later sugyas. Now, the truth is, the idea of Acher Ronos or Godel Omeid Al Gabav, again, you're right, the connotation might be a little different, and maybe it relates to what I'm saying, I'm about to say. The Gemara later on, on Daf, we already discussed this Gemara a little bit, on Daf Yud Gimel, right, discusses the problem of, is it Yud Gimel or Yud Beis? Yud Beis on Beis. Discusses the problem of Kavana, Mishkita. Right, the Gemara says that you see from here, is it Yud Beis or Yud Gimel?
I thought you were talking about Shemi
Kalk. No, Shemi Kalk will get to in a second. Yud Beis on Beis. So the Gemara discusses, we already discussed this a little bit, the question whether you need Kavana b'shchita and whether you need Kavana b'tvila, right, and the possibility that there's a chiluk between the Kadshim and Chulin. If you recall, this is why the Bach didn't like the Bach, you know, asked the question, how come Kasher Tzivisicha in Parshas Re'eh doesn't go back to just Vayikra, right? So that was a bit of a startling question, considering, yeah, that is the pshad of the Sifrei and the Ramban. But the Bach thought he discovered the question, and then he dismissed it with equal force, saying, well, of course, you just can't say the Kasher Tzivisicha links Shechitas Chulin to Shechitas Kadshim, because there's a huge difference between them, namely the requirement of Kavana. And as we explained, because again, what I've been trying to push is this idea that Shechita, at least according to some Rishonim, is the Kadshim way of elevating, the Avodas Kadshim in Chulin that elevates it. So what do you do with these discrepancies? The answer is we're not surprised that they're discrepant. There are plenty of discrepancies that have to do with the fact that something is really Chepta Shel Kadshim. Right? The fact that it is a real, you're not just taking an Avoda from Kadshim for Chulin, but Chepta Shel Kadshim has demands beyond the particular Avoda. Either way, this Gemara that talks about the requirement of this discrepancy, misasek b'shchitas, kadshim is possible, but chulin is kasher. So the Gemara says, how do you know that you don't require kavana in shchita? You know it from our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says that cherishot v'katan begadol or b'acherim roen also, to be technically correct, you're right, one should at least ask that question, is kasher. And if you required Kavana b'shchita, it wouldn't be kosher. So the Bali Tosis already asked the question, the obvious question, which is, how does that prove the Mishnah, how does that prove that you don't need Kavana and Shchita? The Kavana is provided by the Acherim Roem Oso. In other words, who is the real Shochet? That's one question. When you have supervision, in general, when you have an act that requires and has supervision, so do we say, oh, the supervision is machshir the action by the person who's performing it? Or are we saying that the person who's performing becomes kind of a puppet of the supervisors and they're the ones who are doing the action? Or do we say something in between both and say the maisa is done by the performer, but the kavana is provided by the Omeid Al Gabav or the Acherim Roen Moso? So we can split maisa and kavana. This is obviously an objectively legitimate question to raise anytime you're talking about an incompetent person, who, based on supervision, whose actions rehabilitated by supervision. Is each one accomplishing half the purpose? Is it all integrated? If so, who gets credit for the action? So this Gemara that says that there's no requirement of kavana b'shchita, right, seems to be taking a stand on that question, seems to be saying that the katan is everything here, and the gadol amen ogabov is just making sure that nothing goes wrong. But if you really required kavana, you would not have it. And that's not such a davar pashut. And essentially, this is what bothers the Bali Tosis. Tema, the mashma hacha, the kereshot of a katan, la b'nei kavana, afilo acherim om dim al gabon. Tosis uses that expression. It was so far based on Gittin, the Gemara says either la b'nei day, and the Gemara says gadol amen ogabov, ama b'nei kavana, lishma ninu kishagadol amen ogabov. Okay. So the Bali Tosis discuss, yeshomar gadol amen ogabov hainu shemalam dimoso, umazhirim lasos lishma, aval hocha akeir romo, so bialma kamar. So in a way, it's the chiluk that you just made. I'm using them interchangeably because for our purposes, it doesn't really matter so much. But basically, Tosa is saying it matters. It depends. In Lishma, we're talking about, you know, he's training him and he's, you know, giving him the Lishma and the Kavana here not. So we'll get back to it when we get, hopefully, to the Sugya base. And basically, a lot of important things about this topic. But the question that Bali Tosa raises is a very, very important question. And it's a question that goes back already to the Mishnah. Namely, in the case of Omid al-Gabav, who really, is this a Heksher of Ktanim and Chershim and Shotim, right? Or is it then in the God Lomed Agab or the Acherim Ramam also? Or is it some sort of combination? Now the truth is, this is an issue that comes up in other contexts. Reb Chaim in his famous discussion of Edikiyum in Hechos Yivim V'Chalitza, Perek Dalid, so he discusses this question. He says, how come in Chalitza and other places, God Lomid Al Gabav works. Shmon Get, God Lomid Al Gabav works in Matzah too. Possibly discussed it a little bit, I think, before last Pesach. God Lomid Al Gabav works in some of these contexts where you need Lishma or Kavana or Das. Essentially, tells us this question. And yet, it doesn't work. Tosafot there, Reb Chaim is concerned about Edekiyum and Gittin V'Kedushin. Gittin V'Kedushin, right, not going to work. You can have, you know, hundreds of Gedolim Om Demalgava, but it just won't help. Nothing helps. So what's the criterion? When does it help? When does it not help? So this is an important question. So Reb Chaim's answer there is that it depends. If you're interested in Kavana as a kind of an additional ascent, you know, you do an action and then it has to be one which is done with, you know, forethought and you know, understanding. You need ascent. Then Gadol Omed Al-Gabav is going to help you. But if you need what he calls, or what we call, Das, and not just Kavana, that's where the act itself, you know, reflects a certain transformation, creation of a chalos, like Kiddushin Gittin, where the Das isn't just an additional extraneous requirement, but it defines the whole action. So there, it has to come from the performer himself. It can't be supplied artificially and externally and extraneously by someone else. That's essentially the idea of Reb Chaim. The Rishonim in Chulin, again, struggle with this, we already saw Tosafot struggles with it. Again, we'll speak more about it when we get to it, but it's just for the moment, because it'll help us. The Rajba in Chulin is a very famous Shita too, where she quotes, which is linking the ability of Gadol Omed Al Gabav to be effective with the effectiveness of Shlichus. In an area where Shlichus doesn't work, Gadol Omed Al Gabav, that's a discussion. What the relationship is between Shlichus and Gadol Omed Al Gabav. But basically what the Rajba is struggling with, again, is this question: can you split the Kavana from the Maisa? Does it have to be integrated? Who is the real poel? One could say that if you required, when the Gemara here says Mikan, that you don't need Kavana in Shkita. Maybe what the Gemara was saying was something a little bit different. And that is that if you required in Chulin the same kind of Lishma that you require in Kadshim, then Gadol Omed Al Gabav wouldn't work for you. In other words, not that you don't require kavanah at all, but that in avoda, the lishma of an avoda isn't just, again, something extraneous that is ma'akev, but that is tacked on or that can come from a separate source. The avoda and the lishma, they have to come from the same source, they have to be integrated. So it's not so much that shechita doesn't require anything, as much as the model of shechitas kadshim, that intense level of lishma, is not something that we require in kula. Okay, again, I don't want to go too far with this, just getting back to our situation right here. What does the fact that Godel Omen al Gabav or Acheir Roenosa works for Acheir Shota v'Katan, what does that reflect about the Maisa Shechita v'Acheir Shota v'Katan? So what I'm basically saying is, it depends how you look at this. One could have said, Acheir Shota v'Katan are Mufka Lagamri from Shechita. I, Godel Omen al Gabav, or Acheir Roenosa, yeah, the Acheir Roenosa are they're pulling the strings. And that's where the kavana comes from, and that's where the shechita comes from, etc. Again, it's not the same as akum, where even pulling the strings wouldn't help. It's not the same as a maisakot, where pulling the strings wouldn't help. But you have to talk about people who's, you know, who the hands, the adayim, are yidei people with kedushas Yisrael, and you know, and so on. So in the hands of the God Olam El Gaba, but essentially it's the shechita of the God Olam El Gaba. That would be an approach. The Gemara says Mikan that you don't need kavana. That would be in contrast to the almost Eidei Kiyum type requirement of kavana in Kadshim. That is the alternative. That's one way to look at it. The alternative, the opposite way, is to say, take the Gemara Kipshuta and say, basically we see from Gadol Omer al-Gabav that the Maisa Shechita of a Katan is fine. He's not a Bardas. You don't need kavana. Right, you maybe need kavana l'shchita to the maisa. You certainly don't need more than that. It shouldn't be a maisa kov, and it's fine. That's the other way, the opposite way to look at it. But if that's the case, so then what's the problem of a katan and a cheresh and a shota on their own? The answer is it's purely a practical problem, namely, like the Mishnah says, shema yikalkalu. But let's interpret that in the most practical of ways. And then the Gemara says later on, right, Shema Kilkalu lo Amru, Ela Shema Yakalkalu, Mikan Shein Mosrim, you don't give over Klechatchila animals to be shechted by a katan. So basically this other extreme would be saying that the problem in Shechitas Cherishot of a katan, even independently, right, is only a practical problem. A practical problem of Chashash Nevela, or and of Nemanus. Okay. In between these two views, again, is the idea that, you know, Cherishot of the Katan are not excluded, they're not Mufka. With the added supervision of a Gadol, it can be Machshir. In other words, we can have our cake and try to eat it too. We could say, Omed al-Gabav is a case of Cherishot of a Katan, not really, you know, just that they're pulling, their strings are being pulled by the Gadol. So it is a case of Heter or Hechsher Shechita Idei Cherishot of a Katan. However, when the Cherishot of a Katan doesn't have Omed al-Gabav, it's not just a practical or an Emanus problem, or maybe the practical and the Emanus problem. I think it's formulated this in two ways. The practical and the Emanus problem create a more fundamental problem, namely, unsupervised shechitas cheresh of a katan isn't just a safek, but because of the chashash and because of the lack of nemanus, it's vadai nevela. Just in the context of Omer al-Gabav, where you addressed these chashashos and so on, so then cheresh of a katan can also be shochtim. That's one way to look at it. Or that with the kavana of the gadol Omer al-Gabav, right? So then, Cherishot of a Katan can do a proper Shechita. There's not so much difference between those two formulations, but they emphasize different things. So basically, what I'm suggesting is that we have three approaches here to the status of Cherishot of a Katan in Shechita. When you look at the two cases, one is that they can practically we just have some practical issues, but basically they're shochtim mitchila v'yatzov because you don't need kavana, etc. The opposite, they're not shochtim at all, they're just not maisa kof, and we're talking about shchitas gadol, the acher broim, or whether or not they can be shochtim, gufa depends on gadol omed galgabov, that really machshir shchitas hakatan itself. Okay, now this is very important for two reasons. Number one, we've already been discussing this, but it's an issue that keeps coming up. To what extent is shchita physical action, obviously physical action with legal significance, or is it really mostly a, you know, legal, ritual, spiritual action? That's a Lu Yitzu, we knew 100% that the Kereshot of Akatan did a good job in the Shechita. Would it be okay or not? And that's really kind of what we're discussing. Now, we know from Shechitas Akum that sometimes a physical, we know from Maisa Kof, that a physical Shechita can take place and legally doesn't have any validity. Maisa Kof, we could just say, because you need a Maisa Shechita, not just that the animal should be Shachut B'Simanov, you know, Kira, you need a Maisa Shechita, that's part of what you require. Fine. Akum, well, because he's Mufka Ligamri, especially if there's an element of Kedusha. We said both Nevela and Trefa, the Psukim speak about Kedusha, especially if it's a Vodas Kadshim. So even Gertoshav, as we said, even if is defined according to some as, you know, Lager Asher B'Sharecha Titneno B'Achala. So Goy is excluded. Even then, the exclusion of Goy is debated in the Rishonim exactly what is its basis. I'm not going to discuss that now because we don't have to discuss everything on that base. But we'll get to the Mishnah later on. We'll speak about it more fully. The Rambam Pirush Mishnayos, the Rambam Mishnah Torah, others. What about Ger Toshav? What about a Goy finishing up, you know, closing after the main surgery, you know, has been done, or a Goy together with a Yisrael? All sorts of issues, even with regard to the status of Akum B'Shechita. But by and large, we can say safely, by and large, that Akum B'Shechita reflects that doing the physical action is not enough. It's a legal, formal, spiritual, religious action. Okay. Having said that, so, and what about, so now what about Kereshot HaVakata? Do they have such type actions? So in general, is Maisa Katan, first of all, in general, what might be Mechalik Tun Cheresh and Shota and Katan? Katan is just, you know, assumed to be Gadol. And obviously, Cheresh and Shota have more serious problems. The interesting thing is the Rav Yah quotes in the name of the Ravan that when the Mishnah says, Begadol Omid Al Gabav, or Be'acher Roin Oso, that it works, it only goes on Katan, not on Cheresh and Shota. Cheresh Shota are always excluded. Why? Because the Katan, Maisa Katan is significant. Maisa Katan is significant in Chinuch. We know his Shechita is too. That's the Gemara in Sukkah says, you know, if he's old enough, you can start training him in Shechita. Maisa Katan in general is significant. So that already reflects the idea that we were splitting up Cheresh and Shota and Katan. That would be a very important idea. The Rav Yah himself and the mainstream Rishonim all reject this view. I think the Pashas of the Mishnah is that the Mishnah is Makshir for Cheresh and Shota too. If Cheresh and Shota are included, that would support, despite the fact that their Maisim generally don't count, that either means that Shechita can be built largely on a physical Maisa, as opposed to a legal one, or it supports the view that Omid Al-Gabav or Acherim Roim are the real Shochtim here, despite the Gemara on Yud Beis and Beis about Kavanah. Okay, that's one point. In the same vein, the Or Zeruah, we read the other day, right, on Tuesday, read from the Or Zeruah, talking about Namanus, the Or Zeruah said, and what if the guy really is a Baki, he's like, child prodigy shochet, you know. From 7 years old, he's been, you know, the best shochet in town. So you're going to deny Klal Yisrael in the best possible shechita from young, the young shochet. So the Arzeruah really seemed to be mistapek. And the only thing that really threw him off in the end was the Nemanus issue. Okay. Which was very fascinating, because as we explained then, we're not sure whether he means, yeah, the Shechita's fine, but you're always going to have a Nemanus problem. Right? Unless it's corroborated, in which case you're back to Omid al-Gaba. Or what they're saying was, because there's always a Nemanus problem, therefore Shechitaso is nevela, because nemanus is an implicit requirement in being royal shechita, which I think is a fascinating idea. But either way, the point is that the Arzeruah was saying that he's me'uman biyado, he has the physical and the halachic qualities, he's a mumcha, then maybe he should be effective, even believe gadol omid al gaba. That is very, very, that is surely very fascinating shechita. Okay. Again, the Hilchos Eretz Yisrael, which says that you should really require not a bar mitzvah but ben yud ches, that's in the other extreme, right? And that is quoted, by the way, in the Ramah. Did I bring it? The Ramah in Simen Aleph in Yoredeya here quotes this shita, but he quotes it not as a requirement of shita, but as a requirement of Kabbalah. V'yesh machmirim shaloli ten Kabbalah l'mishu pachos v'ben yud ches shana. Mordechai b'shem Hilchos Eretz Yisrael. Actually, what the Mordechai says b'shem Hilchos Eretz Yisrael is that the shita of pachos v'ben yud ches is pigol. That's different than saying you don't give him Kabbalah.
What?
It's
the same thing as
Nashon.
It doesn't say word pigol.
Oh, really? Well, there else he doesn't say pigol. Can you read it again? He doesn't say the word pigol there either.
Asura.
Okay, but he says asura. Well, that's still different than saying you don't give a Kabbalah. What the Ramah quotes is that you don't give a Kabbalah, a shechita. That might be, again, a minui halacha. You don't make him the shochet oir. Or you don't make him the... That's different than saying if he did a shechita and he's the best guy in town, he was born a surgeon. And a veterinarian, all in one. So that you're not going to eat from the shechita. You just don't want to give him Kabbalah yet. Probably not good for his ego either to be having Kabbalah when he's like 5 years old or something like that. Anyways. Okay, so these are some of the issues. Now, so the possibility of being machshir him without Omid al-Gaba, the Orzerua discussion, or if you say it's only a technicality that we do, that's one extreme. The possibility that Omid al-Gaba isn't always machshir would be the other extreme. So where do we find that idea? So we find it in a number of places. The major argument in the Rishonim and the poskim seems to be whether Gadol Omid al-Gabav is l'chatchila or b'diyev when it comes to Chereshot of Chata. In other words, and that gets to the question of Tosis, right? To who was reading before? Oh, you were reading. Sorry. Yeah. So just go. The Rashi explains Tosis. Go read the Tosis quickly. Yeah, very quickly. That's Rashi on Yud Beis. Rashi on Yud Beis says that Shema Kilkul Loktani Yalu Shema Yekalkulu. The Ein Mostra means
that even Omid
al-Gabav should not be lechatchila. And what is and Tosis disagrees? Why? Already says that it's only b'diavad.
Really, so how do you read the middle part that it seems to be redundant?
Oh, so go ahead. So what does Rabbeinu Tam conclude?
Rabbeinu Tam for Aish Eim Osim and Fun Tatkia Lishkot Afilu Kadei Lahashlech Lechavim Zilma Asim Amechal Shiyutu Lahash Shir Shikasa Mitoch Shir Shemosu Lahem.
Shouldn't even do a practice right. Shechitas, because people think that young Laser Wolf or whatever his name is,
right.
Is ready. He's ready to go. So Oh, so what comes out of this is as follows. So what does Rashi really have in mind? I mean, Rashi, since the Tosfos is arguing that Rashi's comment or Rashi's understanding of the Gemara in the Beis Hodeis is redundant because the Mishnah already says that it's Bidiyavet. So I think there are two things that one could say. One is what Tosfos is already hinting at, which is maybe it isn't Bidiyavet in the Mishnah. And it's only the Gemara that's saying that it's Bidiyavet. The other possibility is based on the Ramban. What does Ramban say? Just to get a chance to look at it. When the Ramban quotes Rashi, he says, what kind of halacha is this? Is that, Michael?
Yeah, prevention of baltashkas.
Baltashkas. So it could be, and the Ramban himself says, no, the Bidiyavet isn't based on baltashkas. It's based on?
Just a general point in
Safek Nevela. In other words, we're worried that the Acherim Roen also won't be enough. The supervision will be incomplete or inefficient. So according to the Ramban, what would be the problem? Let's just take a step back. What would be the Bidiyavet? If you say, it's one thing to say, Tanim alone cannot be Shochet. Not only that, we've said before, let's take a step back. Tanim cannot be Shochet, so we now have a different perspective. Number one, the Or Zeruah thought, he practically can. Right? And the Poskim Shulchan Aruch speak about it also. But okay, Bidiyavet you can because of Nemanos or because of Safek Nevela. We're not going to take a chance. Fine. The truth is, okay, so that's one extreme. The other extreme is no. Katan by himself is nothing. Can't. It's nevela. Now the idea that katan alone is nevela, by the way, is reinforced by the later Mishnayos. Mishnah Pei Vav Amud Aleph, which tells us quotes here as well, right? Which says, what does Mishnah say, Rafi? Excellent. Kisli Adam and. The Rameyer and the whole discussion. And what's the other thing?
So
the Esbeno. Right. So what do we say there?
So Gemara explained the notion that we're Potter Kisi Adam because of the same for Serna to Ben Tam. The notion that we're Potter Kisi Adam is Zera Sham Katil.
Right, that's what Tosis brings it in here. But what emerges from the Mishnah and the discussion in the Gemara is that when you have a Katan who the Katan shechts the first animal, so then you're allowed to shech the second animal. And you don't even have to be machmir misafek. Maybe he shechted it properly, and it's a problem of osav yesbino. Or the katan shechts the animal, so maybe misafek you should do a kisi adam. That's the discussion in the Gemara. So from those two sugyas, osav yesbino, which are on the kula side, that's to say that you can't eat by any stretch of the imagination from the shechita of a katan. Right, that's a chumrah. We don't trust it. But to say we're not choshesh, maybe he got it right, especially if he's talented, right? Inyan osav yesbino and kisli adam, that's already much more problematic. So that evidence points that whatever the basis of our suffix or our problem, basically what we're saying is that beinola veinatzmo, we treat it as nevela. It's bekeskas nevela, or it is. Vadai Nevela. Right. Which makes the transition to Gadol HaOmed Al Gabav more difficult. Okay. So then we get to the Gadol HaOmed Al Gabav, so now the question is, well, why should that be Bidiyavet? What's wrong with it being at least Lechatchila? But it goes to what we were speaking about before. It depends what's happening here now. Right? So the Ramban says it's still Bidiyavet because maybe the supervision will be incomplete. And Rashi may be saying, at least Ramban understands it, that it's a din of baltashkis. Maybe they'll catch him if he makes a mistake. It's not safek nevela. Safek rachok, obviously, because we're b'diavad, we're b'matir. But we're worried that there'll be X amount of cases, you know, where the Gadol HaOmed Al Gabav will say, you know, it's possible. And that itself is a problem because that's baltashkis. It's an interesting idea that, in other words, if the percentages are high enough, then Meirosh, it's Baltashkas. Okay. But one could have said that according to Rashi, if you say this Baltashkas idea in particular, so you could say that Rashi agrees based on the Mishnah, the Gadol Omen Algabov is only the Drabana. But what the Gemara is adding about the language of Yikalkalu as opposed to Kilkalu is an addition to the Hilchos Shechita problem, is the Baltashkis problem. There are two different dinim here, and that's why we have two different sources, an extra diuk in the Gemara. Or, the other way to read Rashi is that essentially the Mishnah doesn't say b'di'avad about Shechitas Katan, and the Gemara says b'di'avad about Shechitas Katan. Right? And if you learn like Rabbeinu Tam, that the Gemara doesn't say b'di'avad about Shechitas Katan, but it just says don't let him on his own practice, even klavim, even the hashlif of klavim. So then, maybe the Mishnah isn't b'di'avad at all when it comes to katan. And that is the view of a number of Rishonim. Now, some Rishonim take this view stop. Kesef Mishnah suggests originally, maybe that's a... The Rambam doesn't say anything that... Oh, what happened? Perek Hay, who has the Rambam again? Perek... Where is it? Perek... Not Perek Hay. Perek Dalad Halacha... Hey, that's not right. I'll tell you in a minute. Is it Dalet Hay? Yeah, Dalet Hay. You have it, Daniel? Go ahead. Both Daniels, that's a problem. But we'll switch.
There is a to be katan v'shikar, shenisbabu l'dato, sheshavto, shvikatan psula, mipnei she'en bahen das, shema yipakulu. Ficha, im shaftu mipnei ha-yudeya, vera osan sheshavto, kihugan shvikatan shira.
It sounds like it's a heksher of the katan, number one. But it doesn't, does it clear whether it's to mechatchila or b'di'avad? In the Rambam?
Not
at all. Not to me, anyway. Look at the Kesef Mishnah. What is the Kesef Mishnah saying? So the Kesef Mishnah is strange. I don't know where he got the impression of the Rambam one way or another, but go ahead. Yeah, so basically, again, I don't know why how the Kesef Mishnah gets this in the Rambam, but the Kesef Mishnah is joining the discussion, and in the Beis Yosef, in the Tur Beis Yosef and Shulchan Aruch, this is a bigger discussion. Basically, you have a range of shitas. You have, again, the Shach in Yoredei here, I think already mentions it. Again, if you look at the language of Shulchan Aruch says, V'katan sheni yodei la'amin yadav lishchot, ein mosrin lehem lishchot l'chatchila afilu ercheir om malgaba. So it sounds like Shulchan Aruch's view is, if he's yodei la'amin yadav, then mosrin lo lishchot l'chatchila. V'im shachtu shkitasin kshera, im acheir om malgabeyem, ein mosrin l'chatchila lishchot k'she'en acheir om malgabeyem, afilim rotsin l'hacha l'klavim. Shulchan Aruch incorporates Rabbeinu Tam's reading of the Gemara, v'makaten yodei la'amin yadav v'macher omdim al gavav shochet lechatchila u'mutar lecho mishchitasa. So the Shulchan Aruch is mechalek between yodei la'amin yadav and ein yodei la'amin yadav, whether omid al gavav is lechatchila or b'di'avad. As the Shach points out, it seems like either if he's a mumcha in Hilchos Shechita, or he's yodei la'amin yadav, then lechatchila he'll work with gadol omed al gabav. Whereas the Marshal says that you require both to have lechatchila gadol omed al gabav. That he should be yodei la'amin yadav, and he should be a mumcha b'Hilchos Shechita, and then, and only then, will there be the lechatchila, not the b'di'avad. Then the Shach says, however, the Bach holds in the other direction. Let's say he is neither yodei la'amin yadav nor mumcha l'rabim. So then, even if gadol is omid al gabav, this is the other half of the chiddush. Even if gadol is omid al gabav, shchitaso nevela. Let's read that line. That's what the Kesef Mishnah was implying, right? That if, read that one line again, that if he doesn't know La'amein es Yadav, the way the Kesef Mishnah holds for the Rambam is, if he's Yodei La'amein es Yadav, then B'dieved Omed al Gabav works, and if he's any Yodei La'amein es Yadav, even Omed al Gabav is Nevela. Go ahead. That's what the Kesef Mishnah said. That's not what he paskins in Shulchan Aruch. Right? In Shulchan Aruch, he paskins what he wanted to say for the Rambam, which is the Yodei La'amein Yadav Zachatila, and Ein Yodei La'amein Yadav is B'dieved. But what it ends up being then is we have a full range of Shitos, which I think work in the following way. There are those who hold that Omid al Gabav is always B'dieved. The reason that it's always B'dieved is because you're separating, in a way, the Kavana. I think it could be always B'dieved for one of two reasons. Number one, you really have so little trust in the Katan, despite his personal credentials. He's Yodei La'amein Yadav, he's Mumcha, he passed all the Bechinas, you know, with flying colors, and he has the fine motor coordination, you know, to be an upstanding Shechita, if that's what's required. But you know, he's still a katan. And even with Omid al-Gabav, you still work. It could be very practical. Possible. I suspect that it's more than that. What it really is Omid al-Gabav is a hechsher of Shechitas Katan. And Shechitas Katan is not just a practical problem. So even though b'dieved it works, there's enough there with the supervision of the gadol, it's still an inferior, you want to call it an inferior avoda, or you know, whatever it is, the high standards of Shechita have been compromised because it is Shechitas Katan, mm-hmm. even though it's a Shechitas Katan, which isn't Nevela. Let's say, another way to say it might be the following. I'm not sure, I might be going too far. Well, we discussed a little bit where the Katan has a Maisa, the comment of the Rabia, other such things. Earlier in the year, we talked about Shechita and the requirement of Bracha and the role of mitzvah, right? And we raised the question whether or not mitzvah and matir are just two dinim, or maybe without the mitzvah there's no matir. But we had some it's not the mainstream view, clearly, not logically or in terms of evidence, but there are some such shitos. And again, we talked about kisui adam and mitzvos and mitzvos tzrichas kavana. And a few other examples as well. I think it's an interesting question to raise about Chei Roshota and Katan. But there's no Chiyuv Mitzvah. Is that an issue? Is it Ma'akev? According to those who think that the Mitzvah is Ma'akev, the Heter and the Hechsher, is it at least make everything B'dieved? Because it's like being Shochet B'li Bracha, in a way. So the truth is that, you know, Ketanim generally are Pturim in a mitzvah. Here and there we find that a Ketan can be included in a mitzvah. For example, around the Shita about Korban Pesach, spoke about a couple of years ago in Kedushin. Right, the Rambam Shita is that if a Ketan was Nismana in the Chabura of a Korban Pesach, and then he became a Gadol afterwards, he wouldn't be Chai for Pesach Sheni. And Reb Chaim is very bothered by that, Nuchas Korban Pesach. So how could it be? He was pater in a mitzvos. He only did the betaras chinuch. But here and there we find, again, why it's that one is unique, I'm not going to go into right now. Here and there we find that ketanim are included in the mitzvah Talmud Torah. He may be included even as a katan minat Torah. Certainly in Maisa Averas, Reb Chaim was certainly convinced that a katan had a Maisa Avera. It's used to bring the raya from... the Rambam has a sheet about Shivcha Charufa that even a katan has to bring a korban like a sheyagdil. The Raya that seems to disagree. Reb Chaim thought that was a strong raya that in general katan has a ma'isa veira, just doesn't have ownership. Okay. But now we're talking about not ma'isa veiras, we're talking here about mitzvos. So I think it's an interesting question to ask. If we're talking about, is the only problem a practical problem or even a legal problem In other words, that's what we've been discussing till now. Number one, we don't trust him. He's incompetent. He's not responsible or reliable enough, etc. Or it's a low plug about his reliability. That's all one whole approach. And then the Arzarua's, you know, desire to be machshir this young shochet, you know, which again he lets it go in the end, is quite understandable. Or no, you know, he's mufka. You need a, you know, legal gavra. But now I'm adding a third element, and that is this avoda slash mitzvah element. Just like the Mordechai thought the avoda requires a ben yud kas. Okay. So we don't paskin that way. We say lamala mi yud gimel. But maybe part of the aspect, part of the issue is the mitzvah. And if that isn't ma'akev, because that's a radical shita, although we've encountered it, at least it might explain why, no matter what, begod alomid al-gabav, as long as it's defined as ma'isel cheir shotav akatan, you're always missing that dimension, it's still always going to be a b'diev. Unless you say, and so then what about the shita that says that? That's one extreme. It's always going to be a b'diavad, and not for practical, but for legal purposes. Just give me one more minute. The other extreme is that it's fine and good, and it's always l'chatchila. And that could be because as long as you, you know, close the loopholes or the fears, there's absolutely nothing wrong with chayr shota v'kata. Or it could be because it's really the shchita of a gadol omid al gabo. As for those who are mechalek between, you know, ma'amin yadav, yodela amin yadav, mumcha b'hilchos shechita, the requirement of one or both, that already seems to be much more pragmatic. Although I would say, in the other shechita, the Bach, and what the Kesef Mishnah wanted to say for the Rambam, which is, if they're neither mumcha nor yodela amin yadav, even omid al gabav isn't going to help you at all in Snevela, I think that idea goes to the question, again, the legal question of this not only being a lemaisa chashash, but when the lemaisa chashash is great enough, then there's a hafkas hechsher shkita. Now I'll take some questions. Yeah.
Is there any discussion about what type of gadol to supervise? You might have a situation where you have a gadol who's bar chiyuva, but he knows very little about shkita, and he's working with a katan who is a, you know, precocious katan, and that can work. Or you have another situation where you have katan who knows very little, he's doing shechita, but the gadol is, you know.
Well, how much the katan needs to know, I think we discussed. For example, the poskim discuss also, you know, any age, you know, let's say he's less than 7. Now, will that work? Again, if it's just a, he's not a ma'isa kof, and it's really the gadol omid, ironically, the gadol omid agaba, then actually it could be more liberal. If it's not being machshir, the ma'isa katan, then certain levels of competence one would think should be required. But I hear what you're saying. Let me check again in Shulchan Aruch and the Poskim. But Pashtus, it has to be certainly somebody who not only provides, again, for the Arzarua, well, let me say it this way. For the Arzarua, I think what you're asking is very fascinating for the Arzarua. For the Arzarua, if the problem only is one of Nemanus, well, that's a separate problem, or it then becomes a problem in Gavra Shochet, so in theory, all you would need would be Acheirim Ro'un also who are Nemanim. Of course, they have to be competent to report. That's part of the Nemanos, but that's all you would require. If you require that the Omdim Al Gabov, let's say, are really the Shochtim here, you know, pulling the strings, then I agree, you should require more. I'm not aware of the discussion, but let me look again in Shulchan Aruch, maybe in the later postgame in Shulchan Aruch there's a discussion. Something to look at. Yeah.
Just in defense of what the Kesef Mishnah is on the Rambam, I think the Kesef Mishnah has an argument here about being bedayik the Rambam. I think what the Kesef Mishnah is saying is if the Rambam is talking about the mechanistic vikui that the Kfaris Shodin Katan has, the issue of competency,
right,
there's absolutely no reason for him to say mitnei she'ein bahen das. What he should say is mitnei, as the Kesef Mishnah himself says, mitnei she'ein en yodin la'amein es yedehem shem yakalkulu. What the Kesef Mishnah is saying is that it's a non sequitur. How does it relate she'ein bahen das and then go and to say shem yakalkulu? Ein bahen das is a formal status.
Well, so, not necessarily. I mean, the shikor, you know,
well,
the Rambam puts together with shikor
shenis nava. The shikor is a very fascinating thing. Why he includes it?
Right.
That could either because of the legal formal das issue that he's compromised his das as a shikor, or a competency issue. That could go either way, I think.
Right.
But I think what the Kesef Mishnah is medayik is exactly this point. Why would he say das if he wasn't alluding to a legal formal issue? And if that's the case, if there is a legal form of...
But why, even if it's das, so why, how do we know that the gadol omid al gabav can't supply
the
missing das?
Well, that's just the big finish to say that, well, that's exactly what we were talking about before in the Rav Chaim, that, you know, if it's a das legal form, well,
right,
you
could
issue,
but then the,
so then how much can the gadol compensate?
Right.
Only
then,
with the
eved. But then if it comes back to that, so then how, what's our other evidence that the Rambam holds that this is, you know, a legal formal action, you know, predominantly, such that, you know, we should have this higher standard, the Enekium and the... I'll look at it again. Maybe. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah.
The Ramban hears in Rashi, he adds the word Tamid.
He has what?
The word Tamid, which leads to more of a Malpashkin issue.
Right.
If they're always going to do it, so then they're always going to mess up, so they're always going to do it.
So it's not even higher percentages.
Right. So, but the Rashi himself leaves that out, and the fact that Lizeo could lead more to the way the Rambam
which is that it's a question of Nevela.
Yeah.
Good point. I didn't notice that about Rambam. Okay, so let's move on now to the next issue. But this is, again, food for thought, basically, to sum up, different views on how excluded Chereshot of a Katan are. And we have basically, again, a range of positions. A, are we mechalik between katan and chereshota? A, what is katan? B, what does katan mean in this context? On the one extreme, ben yud ches. On the other extreme, for omer al gabav, working, maybe less than zayin isn't going to help you, either. And within that, then there's the question of should it be mechalik between somebody who is, really exceptionally competent and knowledgeable, mumcha and yochal yamin es yadav. Does that make a difference in the type of ketanim that we're talking about, either alone, the Arzaruah's discussion, or in the context of Omid al-Gabav being kosher, or Omid al-Gabav turning into lechatchila? And are these factors that are purely practical, or do they have to do also with qualifying the person, either by removing the serious sveikos that aren't just serious sveikos, but that end up being mafkia, his kashrus, or just as a gavra, somebody who can be manui and roi l'shchita. So these are all questions that we've encountered. And the second half of that question is, what happens with gadol omid al gabav? Does gadol omid al gabav shift everything to a different source, despite the simple reading of the Gemara and Daf Yud Beis on the base, or does it remain shchitas katan, in which case the question of the chatchilim, but the evidence, the circumstances, and I've injected also now the question of the Ravi already injects the question of Maisa Katan, and I'm injecting the question of Maisa Katan Legabe Mitzvah, whether that has some impact on this discussion, either to be ma'akev to see Omer al-Gabav differently, or at least in terms of the chatchila issue, as we discussed. Okay, now let's move on to the next point. We just have a few more minutes for today. But let's at least keep moving. So let's, Yossi, you want to read the beginning of Gemara?
Sure.
Language of the Mishnah seems to be so sir. So I'm going to have a break to Rava.
The Ravashi,
the assumption, the question, is that the first formulation of the Mishnah is a lechatchila. Is that really true?
Clear,
it's clearly Asr.
They qualify it appropriately.
Oh. So here, we encounter a little bit of Tamura. We're not studying Tamura, but it's one of the, I think, pleasant opportunities. Putting the second like Kulin is that you're more likely to bump into issues that we don't see every day in Bava Kama or Bava Metzia or even in Bracha. So when they come up and we have opportunity to speak about them briefly, we'll try to do that. So here we have we encounter, of course, the fascinating din of Tmura, and there are some problems that the Rishonim raise in this Gemara, namely, First of all, you have this long Tosas, Kiriktani Taima, exactly, Rashi's interpretation.
Right, Rashi's interpretation of Rashi reads that the Lashon Dam Rashi Lahavi on the Shem so first time that it's being upper lay. So it doesn't like that, so he reads the Lechatkila, the Evid in completely different ways.
Yeah. So Tosas discusses Agav, brings up the question whether or not Tmura b'mezid or b'shogeg is a, which is a bigger chiddush, Tmura b'mezid or Tmura b'shogeg. It's such if we had to condense the Tosas, the significance of Tosas through Masal Hasam. So basically, Tosas is there are few interesting or important lines there. Right. Number one, the question itself is interesting, right? Okay. And the winner is? Okay. There's one thing here about what I mentioned, the Sephardic chief rabbi is coming on Monday. We'll be giving a shiur to Beis Medrash at Ohan and Yoni Shemitah. Okay, that's good. At 11 o'clock. So everybody is invited. There will be Mar Makomos at 11 o'clock, a shir on Yane Shemitah. Okay. The other thing is sad news, unfortunately, and that is that Rebbetzin Tendler was Niftaret. Today is the Levaya is today at 3 o'clock in Muncie. I guess leaving from the from Rav Tendler's shul in Muncie. So Baruch Dayan Emet, that's very sad news. She had been ill for a while. A very special person. Okay, we're going to stop in one more minute. I just want to identify some of the issues here, and then we'll continue with them on Sunday. So number one, the Tosas's question: Arboim Bekatvei. Tosas seems to assume that because there were loka on Tmura, that somehow that should interfere with the Kedusha. Correct? You have that line in... One second. Yeah. So, number one, I just want to identify three points in Tosa. Tosa says that there might have been a svara to say that if you're loka, the dafka, there should not be any kedusha. Meaning b'mezid. Therefore, if you're meimir b'mezid, b'malkus, why should it be true that that it's effective, that the chiluf is cha? That's number one. Okay. Then he says, however, maybe one can be b'chalik between shogeg and mezid, that one might have thought that when it comes to the hakrava, right, shogeg is better than mezid. But when it comes to the hafrasha, or the hafrasha's kedusha, then one might have thought that mezid would be superior to shogeg in tmura. Okay, that's the second point of Tosas. And then the third point of Tosas is, Yossi?
The last answer?
Yeah. That maybe a mazid Beli Malkus is actually superior to shogeg, which opposed to his previous answer where he said that when it comes to the hakrava, shogeg is more easily understood than mazid. Okay, so that's, we'll just want to, I want to speak about that for a couple of minutes on Sunday. That's one issue. Maybe one of these Tmura b'mezid, Tmura b'shogeg, what's going on? The whole institution of Tmura obviously is very difficult to pin down. why should we be mechalik between shogeg and mezid? Why should we be mechalik between the hatfasas hakedusha as opposed to the hakravas hakarban? Okay. That's one issue the Tosfos brings out. The second issue is in the next Tosfos. Go ahead.
So why do we assume that only
if there are two lavim, there should be eight, there should be double malchus.
Right.
Go ahead.
Each law serves its purpose, and it's coming to tell you that for an individual you only get one set, but it's this unique case in which it's similar to.
So it sounds like Tosfos here, the question is based on assumption we have two lavim in Tumura, and it sounds like Tosfos is saying we really don't, we really have one, just that we're Megala Milsa, that it applies in different circumstances, but it's really one.
Tosfos in Tumura is.
Tosfos in Tumura says?
He actually says that.
Has one day that you actually loka double.
Right. The second answer.
Yeah. So the question is as follows. And also the Gemara in Tumura, and what is the Rambam Shita about all this? One second before I get to that.
Rambam
seems to say that you only get
four,
one, eight. not double. And the Rambam also quotes the Gemara in Tumura, which raises the question. There are two issues which make Malchus and Tumura in general problematic. Okay, one is, why do you get Malchus and Tumura at all? Lav Shem B'Maisa.
Right.
So the Gemara discusses that in Tumura, and I've given a little base. Gemara says that has two formulations. Either Tumura is an exception to the rule that Lav Shem B'Maisa ain't lokan alav. Neymar, Nizba, Umakalalas Hashem, those are the three exceptions. Or Rabbi Yochanan said, no, that's not the reason why it's an exception. The reason that it's an exception is because b'dibure ka'avid maisa. So that's one issue. What's that argument about? And the Rambam is problematic here because the Rambam, the beginning of Hilchos Tumura, quotes the Tana that it's nishba meimer makalos Hashem. It's the exception. Even though Rabbi Yochanan and the Gemara seem to conclude, no, it's b'dibure ka'avid maisa. It's not an exception at all. And the Kesa Mishnah asks this question: how come the Rambam didn't accept the Gemara's answer that this isn't an exception, but it's b'dibure ka'avid maisa? Okay. That's point number one. Point number two is what's the other reason why you might be lavandita klase? Because v'hayahu tmuraso kodesh. So that's, the Gemara says that's a lavandita klase. The Gemara itself asks the question. Right? The Gemara says, how come you're loke? What does the Gemara answer? Why not? The Gemara gives the answer two lavim, since it's two lavim and there's only one asay, so it's not considered a lav anita klase. And the Rambam quotes that as well. But what answer did you want to give? That it's not really anita klase.
Right.
Why?
The asay doesn't really necessarily.
That's a very good point. Who says that?
I forget everyone.
Okay, so that's a good point. Namely, this doesn't look like a classic asay. Because the classic assay in some way compensates for, last year we discussed Gnevo Gzela. Haitian Sagdilasher Gazal is a way of redressing, the crime of Gneva, or at least of Gzela, right? According to the Rambam, of Gzela, not of Gneva, but according to the Rishonim, Gneva and Gzela. Haitian Sagdilasher Gazal, right? But how is Vahayahu Turaso Kodesh, how does that in any way an antidote to Loyachli Fenevalo Yamiroso? So that's a good point. We'll have to see whether or not. But the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara does call it Nita Kasa. You see what the Gemara means by it. The Rambam quotes the answer of two lavin. And then the Rambam gives a second answer. Namely, Avi? He gives the two Nita Kasa answer. That's our two. And then he says, in addition, Michael?
The lavin
Hasei are not shavin, because of which cases? Excellent. Shutfim and Korban Sibur, you have Hu Tmuraso, I'm sorry, you have the Lav, right? Lo Yachli Fenev Lo Yamir, and the Malkus. even though you don't have who tmuraso yakodesh, because the attempted substitute is not going to be kodesh in the case of, so therefore it's not shavalakol. If it's not shavalakol, that's the Ram. Now why do the Ram need both? Answers, number one. Number two, there seems to be several problems. Number one, is it really an assay, a nitak la'asay that is against two lavin? After all, the Gemara in Daf Tesa and Aleph that Tosis is quoting seems to say it really isn't two lavin at all. It's just the lav applies, right, both to him and to chavero, which is what Tosis is saying here, why there's no two malchus. So, miman of shach, either they're two lavin, it's a kefal alav, or not. So what's going on with that? That's question number one. Moreover, the Rambam, l'shitaso, if he really held this view of lav anita klase, not working against two lavin, so does he hold this in other places? In particular, one could raise the question about, you know, Chametz of Pesach, right, where the Rambam also has two lavin, Bayra Bayimatze. Rambam says there that you are loke if you're kona chametz or osa chametz in Pesach. Because that Rambam is problematic from several points of view. The Gemara actually in Pesachim Tzadi Heyamid Aleph says that Bayra Bayimatze doesn't get malchus because it's a lav anita klase. So the Acharonim ask, but didn't the Gemara say in Tmura that whenever there are two lavin, lavinita klase doesn't work? Now this might help the Rambam. The question they ask against the Rambam is, what happened to lavinita klase? How come the reason that you're loka is because of kona chametz of Pesach, osa chametz of Pesach? Moreover, are you loka twice on chametz? Moreover, how many lavim does the Rambam count in Tmura? Adam? In Minna Mitzos. And in the Koteret.
In the Olam, it brings in two
lavim. Yeah?
It counts two, but not the same.
Again?
Counts two lavim in one of say.
In the Koteret? In the number?
It's a separate answer.
What?
It counts differently.
That's something else. Mishana Kachi is closed differently. What? No. Mishana Kachi and Kachi is a totally different issue. But Lo Yachlifenu and Lo Yamir. Is it counted as one or as two? As one. He says it very clearly. And who has, with this will conclude.
So what does he mean by two lavim?
No, he doesn't deny that there's a pasuk in the Torah that says Lo Yachlifenu and Lo Yamir. What he's saying is, on the contrary, it works better for the Rambam.
Only one of them is counted as a lav.
In Minyan HaMitzvot.
Right.
That's actually going to work well for better for the Rambam, as we'll see. Here, let me just finish with this. So basically what I'm trying to identify the problems, we'll speak about the solutions on Sunday, but you can see there are a lot of problems. And in the Koteret, he has Shelo Yamir, then he has the Asei, Shetia Tmura Kodesh Im Hemir, and third is Shalei Shana Kachim Miktusha Liktusha. That's something else. That's not. That's Kolam Meimer Lokal Kol Behemo Behema Shiyamir Shenemer Loyachli Fenu Velo Yamir Oso. Af Bishulah Samaisa. Piashim Olamdu Shekomet Zaslos Hashem Shema Maisa Ein Lokan Al Chutz Medishim Meimer Kalus Hashem. Right. And so on. Velama Lokan Al Atmura. Hari Lav Sheba. It's only talking about one. Nita Klase. But in Minyan HaMitzvos, Lo Yachlifenu and Lo Yamir are one, which is consistent with the Rambam's view in Shorash Tes. In general, that when you have more lavin, too many, multiple lavin on the same, we discussed this in other contexts already, right? Multiple lavin for the same, we talked about Bedikas Simanim, right? This is the Rambam. The Rambam in Shorash Tes says if you have multiple psukim, lavim, that relate to one Isur, you only count them once, and you only get Malkus once. The Ramban in Shorash Tes disagrees. Right? So we have to figure out what's going on here, because there really are a lot of discrepancies. We have to figure out why is this lav and tikase treated differently than others? When are two lavin treated as one? When do they get separate treatment? What is really is the nature of the Isur of Tmura? Because basically Tmura, you're trying to accomplish something very ambitious. You're trying to take animal A and substitute it for animal B. You want animal B to be Yotze L'chul, and you want animal A to take its place, right, as a carbon. In the end of the day, we say V'hayu Tmura So Kodesh, meaning you don't achieve the result of being motzi the existing carbon l'chulin, right? But it wasn't a totally futile effort either, right? In the end, maybe I shouldn't say it this way. I mean, maybe it backfired on you, and instead you ended up, you know, with two carbonos. It depends on your point of view. Were you focused on making you know, this animal into a carbon? Will you achieve? That's one way to look at it. Or you were interested in exchanging carbonos, and you totally failed, and it backfired even further because you ended up with two. But the question is on how to understand what is going on. Is our lo yamir lo yachlifenu basically one idea with a double lav to make it more chamor, or do they relate to two aspects of what's happening in Tmura? It's also not clear which relates to which. Rashi in Bava Metzia says that you're loke for lo yachlifenu. You can even look at the Musaf Rashi on the side of these new Gemaras. They quote the Rashi in Bava Metzia Tzadi Aleph Amar, lo yachlifenu. Here, and in Tmura, Rashi says that you get Malkus for lo yamir. What's the difference between lo yamir? Is one of them relating to the effort to make the new animal Kodesh, and the second relates to the effort or the attempt to remove Kedusha from the first animal? In which case, what is the relationship between those two facts? That's what I want to speak about Sunday. Finish this off Sunday, and then we move on to the Nadarim issue. Also look at the Ramban here on the Nadarim issue. I don't know if I gave that. Let's look at the Nadarim, but that's our next...